coming to you from the Radio for One studios in Franklin, Michigan. Welcome to the Detroit Cast.
Big fan.
Big fan.
A show not just free of charge, but free of FCC regulation.
Thank you for your support of the Detroit Cast.
Oh, there it is.
And without further delay, it's showtime. Please welcome the Detroit Cast. Here are your hosts, Mike and Jay.
I think Detroit would be an extremely fascinating place.
Oh, it is. Love it, Jerry. Good day, everybody. Welcome to the Detroit Cast. Mike and Jay. McGee, of course, is here, warming himself back up. How are you, Jay?
I'm quite well, thank you. What an exciting day, huh?
Yeah.
What are we up to, E? Should check it recently?
Not since I walked in. So.
Our campaign to raise funds for South Oakland Shelter, we're at $21,328.
Nice.
72 cents. How did we get this weird cents?
I know some person down the line
randomly giving us like 36 cents or
somebody at one point today gave $6.66.
Ooh.
So
I saw 69.69.
The mark of the beast. Ah, yes. And there we
And there you go.
Somebody went 09, something like that. Yeah.
I think I gave a penny.
Did you?
Yeah, on the first day. I wanted to kick it off, you know, just to have something in the coffers. But yeah,
what a great evening, E. Well done, sir. E was pushing hard last night.
I'm going to say it. I think if there was ever a time in my life that I've quote unquote hustled,
it was last night. He's been busking, for sure. Yes. He might as well be out on the street with a hat.
I did the water flip where you're trying to, and that took me maybe a half hour. There was quite a bit of negative backlash on how long it was taking me to get a water ball up.
If he was given $5 in change right now, he'd be given 2 twos and a 1. That's how hard he's hustling today.
Yes, exactly.
That son of a bitch. Good work, E.
Yeah, it's been funny, man. Like, I had to leave and go run some errands. Remember, as I said, it was Valentine's Day yesterday, and E, you know, for whatever reason, refused on his walk to pick up some chocolates and flowers for Beth for me. And so I had to go out and, you know, do some running around. And every time I came out of my house, it was like, he's out there. Now he's bowling. He's just got water bottles set up. And he's built himself a little lane. I mean, just slap happy.
I drew a lane down with chalk because I had to chalk. Excellent. I had those chalk things. Got a few strikes. No big deal.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. he was bowling at one point. He was hopscotching.
Yeah.
He was drawing penises. Horrible penis. He draws a terrible
really
penis.
Bad dick, sort of a rocket ship look. That's what I saw when I came in.
Yes, very rocket ship. No whiz hole. Who draws a dick without a whiz hole?
No urethra?
I don't know.
And his pubes were a mess. Like, the balls themselves had nothing on them. Like, you got to, and you curly them, but his were just coming out like.
Like a sunshine? Like if you drew
a
sunshine?
Yeah, like a child would draw a sunshine. It looked like two sunshine. It was weird. But. Yeah,
karaoke with Big E. I was doing karaoke with Big E, taking requests and
he does,
singing, quote unquote.
He does leave a lot to be desired, but you know, he is what he is.
Yeah.
Interesting to watch on webcam, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Do we actually have you captured singing E?
Oh, shit.
Didn't someone capture him? Did Aaron do that?
Aaron captured. You know, you mentioned Aaron, and we've mentioned yesterday and the day prior, but he does deserve frequent mentions here for keeping us up, keeping us running. As well as PC Solutions, his company.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for any PC Solutions, go to PCSolutionsNow.com.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, Aaron knows his shit. So
it's working a little bit. I know one person on the webcam at one time asked, like, man, this camera is really good. Where would you get this?
Yeah.
And, you know, I, of course, directed them to PC Solutions and Aaron. And also, Mike's internet went out last night around 3:30-ish in the morning, 3:30, whenever. And I was able to get the Comcast back online.
Ooh,
but
hero.
No, but not
if you
able.
Don't say yourself. So yourself. Okay.
Well, I did it. I'm just saying.
Were you
what
in
I
the
did.
Motley Crue room?
Yeah.
He did.
Wow, at 3 a.m.
He went up to the Motley Crue room and started pushing buttons.
Son
one
of
these buttons will do it.
But I could not get it all done. And I had sent a text to Aaron. And I mean, he wasn't up at 5 a.m. for some reason. I don't know why.
Hmm.
But
lazy.
But sleeping in. But no, he remotely was able to get the show back, the Big Eagle's Nest back on from where he was. So a lot of work by Aaron.
Yeah. Good dude.
Hey, at what point, E, did you park your car all cocked?
Like 8:30 in the morning, 9 in the morning.
I was still able to clip a wing, I think.
I know, but not the majority of the year was protected.
Yeah, good work.
E was saying that, you know, when I went out this morning, he had just gotten the, I think he had just gotten the feedback up, you know, a little while earlier. And he was like, dude, it was so much worse when the feed was down and I couldn't talk to people.
Yes, like that's true. I had an hour because what happened was, for one, and if anyone watched the feed, for one, if you for a little bit, it kept replaying. If you saw the feed right before it cut out, which was around 3:30, there was a moment of me in the tent just going, oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. And I wasn't looking at the camera.
Because you were so cold, you mean?
Yeah, I was like, I wasn't looking at the camera. This was me coming out of sleep. Like, I was coming, waking up and just like, oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. And so then I sat there for an hour and my phone wasn't working. So I'm like, why is the internet on my phone not working? AA Ron had set up a kind of a hotspot or whatever you'd call it out there. So I was fine. It wasn't working, but I didn't know if the camera was still on. Mm-hmm. And so I assumed that it just was because the light was on me. And I sat there for an hour. But since my phone wasn't working, not able to talk to anybody, not able to interact, that hour may have been worse than the other 2 days combined. It was bad.
Yeah.
It was, I was in a place that...
A dark placey.
Jay, you said that maybe worst case coming out of this, I would have an appreciation for the homeless. And I totally have a more appreciation for the homeless. Or a bigger appreciation for what they go through. I was saying to Mike, I think the thing is, for real, people say, oh, what are you tired for? You don't do anything all day. Well, just getting through a day sitting there, and if you don't have some, you know, you don't have... go home to something. You don't have a lunch where it's a regular thing.
A place to go or a place you're welcome.
Right. I think that a lot of times, and this is just from me, this experience this week, but I think that a lot of times probably they can fall asleep very easily. I fell asleep like that last night. Around 10:30, I finally, like, I had to tell people on the mic, guys, I gotta lay my head down. I'm so tired.
Sorry to do this.
And AA Ron told me that it was within 2 minutes I was very obviously out.
Mm-hmm.
But then what happens, I bet, is my theory, is that you can fall asleep so easily because you're exhausted, but then you're cold and you're uncomfortable. So you wake up way earlier than you'd want to.
Yeah.
And now you're awake. You can't fall back asleep because you were asleep. It's cold and you're uncomfortable. And there's this weird time between when businesses are open, when the McDonald's is open, when the library is open, and it's dark if you're in certain areas of the country. If you're in this area, if you're a homeless guy in Oakland County and it's dark and you're up at 4 a.m. because you can't sleep, it's really brutal.
Yeah, just trying to stay warm.
Nowhere to go. Nothing to do. And that is a horrible...
And obviously, I'm experiencing it on a very mild level, but I'm saying my
thought
is... And
you've got a light at the end of the tunnel, too. You know, I've just got to get through this many hours.
Exactly. And so, but my point is to... like I said, getting an appreciation for the homeless and what they go through.
Yeah. And that hour that, like you said, you were suffering without your community of people, you do really a good job on there of making it feel like there's a bunch of people there with you.
Yeah.
I mean, you're like answering every question.
I know. I'm
trying. Responding to everything you can.
But it's almost like I have to. Or like I said, the hour that there was no intercommunication, I was sitting there just go, what am I going to do? And I know people can say, I don't care. Like, I just didn't. I was so cold, and I was so tired, and I didn't know what
to
do.
And Joel will not stop needling him.
Yeah.
Just
he deserves it after what he did.
Forefinger to the ribs, just
over
and over. I don't know what you were screaming about something this morning.
Yeah, he definitely got to me today.
Yeah.
Big time. He got to me bigly.
Bigly. What did he do? What did he accuse you of?
I went in and heated up my hot chocolate from yesterday that I had gotten.
Yeah, the pretentious Franklin
Pretentious
farmhouse.
Hot chocolate. Mm-hmm. What homeless guy has a microwave to go? And you know what? Actually, what I fired back with is, you know what? A lot of homeless people do have shit to go. You know what they do? Homeless people find ways to reheat a microwave. When I worked at a gas station
reheat
and how
microwave. Well put.
Well, find a microwave reheat something you have.
That's even better.
Whatever. When I worked at the gas station in Holland at midnights, there was a thing where you had to, like, watch out for these people that would just come in and try to reheat food, try to do this because they're trying to use free services. In the middle of the day, do you think homeless people just sit in a chair and stare? No, they go to the library. They go to the McDonald's and buy a burger but sit there as long as they let them for that burger. So I don't feel too bad.
Half the people on those exercise bikes at Planet Fitness are homeless.
They're all homeless. Yeah.
Things not even on. They're just laying on the treadmill part of it. That's what I would do.
Waiting for the pizza to be served.
Anyway, I got into it. I started like, fuck you and fuck this.
Well, homeless people, by and large, probably don't have people delivering food each day.
Yeah. No, that's
true. Like E has had, I mean, we got, quote, the world's greatest subs delivered. by Dan and Ashley the other day. We had pizzas delivered. What else was delivered? We had
that's food wise. That's bound the only thing up, I man. Got.
He's very bound. Food wise, that's of carbs. He's just been carb loading like crazy.
Yeah.
Although I might get some dinner tonight from our boys at I can't remember it. SOS South Oakland Shelter.
Nice.
Really?
Yeah.
Did they invite you over for dinner? Are they picking you up?
They're gonna come. I don't know what they're gonna bring me, but they're gonna. He said he would come bring me a dinner tonight.
Oh, excellent. Great! Well, I'll be sure to grab that, and then I'll give you what, because I could go for a hot meal too. Honestly, I really could. I've been starving, and I'm tired of eating carbs.
Yeah.
So if they bring that to me, and then I'll promise I'll save you a little bit, because that food is pretty good.
You're too gracious.
Before we get to the meat of the show, Mike, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't thank some people related to this fundraiser. Zot Ford coming in big this morning with a hearty donation. Peerless Steel, of course, we mentioned before, coming in big. Asymmetric Wealth Management and Michael over there. Visiting Angels, the Sterling Heights, Troy, and Port Huron locations coming in big. Stacy from Fine Art and Design.
Mm-hmm.
We've mentioned her in the past. She does great Photoshop work. She does great photography.
She did the Big Eagle cam photo.
That's what I wanted to mention. If you guys have seen the three or four Big Eagle cam photos we have, which I can't look at without just chuckling at the very least.
Yeah,
I love the eaglet. The best.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's damn good.
I think what makes it great is he's got a real eagle next to him. Uh-huh. Like, that's his brother.
Yeah. You
know? And then there's the big eaglet.
Maybe we should feed him the way eagles feed their young.
Regurgitate?
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you think?
I could do that. I'd be willing to chew something up and spit it in his mouth.
Oh, you would you?
I would. Yeah.
I would, too.
I'll do that for you.
You guys are so nice. Yeah. It's good to have friends.
Of course, Aaron, we mentioned PC Solutions over there. GB Training Center, putting us over 20,000 this morning.
Yes, so, I saw that.
I know some people over there, good people.
Which one's your favorite of the people over there?
I'd say Gab. Yeah. Gab, way to go, Gab. Joe out in Vegas helping us from Deja Vu Love Boutique. He's got a brick and mortar store out there, but soon he's going online with The Vu.
Nice.
So thank you to him. And thank you to TJ's Lawn Care for helping out.
Yeah. Thank you to everybody else too. All the individual donations that have gotten it so good. I'm hearing from the shelter people that this is really impressive. As far as like numbers go and what they expect.
Relative to what other third party fundraisers do, I guess we're really
hitting it
out of the park.
Did you want me to read it? Or?
Sure, go ahead.
I was talking to our boy Ryan, and I was happy. I was so pumped when he got a 20K. I don't know if I've ever been really so happy. I'm really glad we did this.
You should
be
very proud.
That, in large part,
is because of your work. So.
I'm proud of.
Well,
I'm proud of the show, and I'm proud of the listeners.
I'll give him huge props.
I'm proud of the show, and I'm proud of the listeners. Is what I'm proud of. But I told him, like, dude, past 20K, and he was like, congrats. And I was like, we're not done yet, but I really want to hit that 20K mark. And he's like, this is a serious amount. Our budget for a third party fundraisers like this is $30,000 for the year. You guys have reached 2/3 of it in one event.
In mid-February.
So you have 362 days for the rest of the year to pick up the last 10 grand.
And he continued on after that. We never really know who will step up and do something for SOS. This must be a record for most raised by a single initiative. Incredible job. And I'd like to share this too, honestly. He said, relatable to what we did and the impact of our money so far. You've raised enough money for us to provide rental and utility assistance plus supportive services for someone homeless with a severe disability for a full year.
Nice.
Wow.
That's huge. Thank you to everyone
out
there.
It puts it in human terms.
Indeed.
And honestly, I know, E, we bust on you all the time, and we have fun doing that. It's easy to do. It's fun to do. The listeners enjoy it. Jay and I take great pleasure in it.
So much fun.
We torture your poor mother, your poor Nana. But honestly, dude, I
almost hit him with a car yesterday.
Yeah. I mean,
they were soft brakes, but.
Right. And it wasn't your fault. I'm glad you're okay, Jay. In the end, I'm glad you're okay. I forgot what I was going to say. Anyway,
let's get on to the show.
You're about to say something nice about me?
No, honestly, the more I thought about it and the more that I've checked in randomly through the day and seen how animated he's been and tap dancing and answering questions and looking like he's freezing his ass off and knowing how sleep deprived he's been and just fucking going for it, whether you like him or not, whether you thumbs down the video. Yeah. he's not fucking around out there. I can tell you how I would be, and it wouldn't be pretty. And I think, Jay, I can tell how you would be.
For me, too.
Yeah, and we would not, we just wouldn't. We would get irritated, frustrated, and more likely rip off a microphone and go, fuck this, man.
Yeah.
It's freezing. I'm going inside. Yeah. You know, I raised $2,000, good enough. And he's just out there song and dancing it. And I give him a lot of credit for that, dude. That's not easy to do. It hasn't been easy to watch you from afar do it. And it's impressive.
I'll say one last thing. I don't know, you're like you said, we got another show to go. It is a very unique experience. For one, I love talking. I famously talked you out of a Michigan game. I've talked over four-hour flights, and I'm running a little low on talking. I don't even know what to say anymore. But it's such a weird feeling because I'm just talking at this little triangle or rectangle, whatever, little screen, little
dot.
Hold
on, you've been in there how long, and you don't know if it's a triangle or a rectangle?
Rectangle.
You think you know every square inch of that, yeah, like the back of your, yeah, hand.
But it's just really weird to just, because the thing is, I'm not having I'm having conversations, but there's not, because I'm asking the questions and then repeating the questions anyway. Yeah.
Can we hear him sing really quick?
Yes, please.
Should I just jump in here in the middle, or?
Yeah, go ahead. I think Aaron put it to some tune, some music. But we've tried to get him to sing 1,000 times. He won't utter a word of singing, but
he'll do it for the cause.
He'll do it for the cause.
Boy in a Chevy truck that had a tendency of getting stuck on back roads at night. And I was right there beside him all summer long. And the time when we woke up to find that summer had gone.
Part.
This is the bridge, yeah.
But when you think Tim McGraw, I hope you think that fit my favorite song. The one we danced to all
this
night.
This is so
long,
close to the original. We're probably going to get our feet yanked.
I know.
So I should.
Taylor Swift is going to be all over this.
Yeah, this is definitely going to be picked up by the Taylor Swift bots.
My favorite part, if you don't mind, can I zoom to the end real fast?
Sure.
That's my favorite part, right? When I get. I think it's. Right
around. Send away your blue eyes shine. Wait, but the stars,
you know what I'm looking
Georgia
for, right, Jay?
Stars, a shame that night, yeah. I said that's a lie. You guys better fucking donate, man. You guys better fucking actually donate after that.
Little stage banter. That's good.
I just like that.
It is definitely an R-rated broadcast out there, by the way. He cannot go 2 seconds without, motherfucker, this or bullshit. Like, if you had any idea, like, hey, gather the family around, yeah, and let's watch Big
Let's Chromecast it up on the
charity.
Big screen.
Fuck, dude. Shit, dude. Fucking cold,
it could be,
man.
Yeah, it could be a bird that tweets.
Yes.
Fucking birds.
Fucking birds. God damn it. What was that? Looking around, hear him pop up in his tent. Fuck, dude. Shit, fuck. I hope the South Oakland shelter can look beyond that, yeah, and just go, you know what? The take is good at the end. We can use the help. So we'll put up with this guy just blathering on in obscenities for four, yeah, days.
Well, hey, we also drew some prize pack winners, which we'll announce later in the show.
Okay.
That's called a tease, Mike. But before we get on to the show, let's do a little bit more singing, Mike.
Douglas!
Got to tell you about our buddy Doug.
You want to go a cappella?
Nah, we haven't done it in a while. I think we need some accompaniment.
You sure?
Yes, I do.
All right.
And then we're going to find our best friend, Doug, and then we're going to give him a best friend hug. Doug, Doug, oh, Doug, 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 Doug.
Buying a home can be one of the most stressful times of a person's life. Doug Steinert at Century 21 Campbell wants to make the sale of your old home or the purchase of your dream home as stress-free as possible. Call Doug at 248-765-1781. And let him and the team at Century 21 Campbell make your home purchasing dreams a reality. Call 248-765-1781 and ask for fellow Detroit Cast listener, Doug Steinert.
Douglas!
Well, moving on to more of the substance and meat of the show, it looks like we have got an all-out war going on in Washington right now.
Mm.
Trump
down
v. Washington.
Yeah.
It's getting ugly, dude. It is getting ugly. Obviously, we're talking about Michael Flynn being blown out yesterday, whether you believe he resigned or quit, whatever. But now all these leaks are coming out to the papers and stuff about his connections and with Russia,
mm-hmm,
and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, Trump is pushing back, obviously, against all this and saying that his aides had improper contact with government officials in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks because it's hard to know what to believe anymore.
Oh,
with
I know.
This stuff.
You hear like, both sides talk about it, and you're like, okay.
Yeah. And that's where I'm at.
You know both sides have incentive to create the best scenario for their side.
Part of me feels like this is the point of Donald Trump, because we've gotten so far from being able to just look at something without partisan politics involved that you know that you have to take everything you hear with a grain of salt because it's being spun in a way. And that is so incredibly frustrating to the American public. It is when it's like, I stand on this side of the aisle. It's driven me nuts forever when you see those State of the Unions and half the room stands up, standing ovation.
What a joke.
And it's like, really, guys, you can't agree on anything. Everything he says is he's just an asshole. He's just an asshole who's out for himself and hates the country. If you're on this side of the fence, and if you're on this side of the fence, he's an absolute patriot, loves his country. And I'm not talking about just Trump, any of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so now here we are with this, and you know what they know. The fact of the matter is, the New York Times wrote this big article, and it's like, what we're hearing is that senior officials inside Trump's team were talking to Russian officials and blah, 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 and people are running with that. Boom. Throw it out there like it's, you know.
Fact.
Fact. And the fact is, they don't know. And I'm not saying there was anything going on or there wasn't. I don't know, and neither does the New York Times. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to throw that out there that, well, we're hearing this. We're hearing this from officials that these conversations were taking place, but they have no idea who was talking to who, what context, how long.
And back in the day, you might go, well, you know, this is the New York Times. I mean, this is a big, reputable newspaper.
Big deal.
And so if they're saying they're hearing this, there must be something there. Well, to your point of a moment ago, you don't know if you can believe that anymore,
mm-hmm.
or if they're just running with something that's just garbage.
Yeah. Well, and Trump's been in a war with the media for a long time now, especially the New York Times. You know, these liberal, super liberal papers, Washington Post.
Those are
New
the
York
two
Times.
That really jump out at you. New York Times and Post.
And anytime you Washington hear of some Post. Leak from inside, they're always going to those two papers.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, that's where the connection is. And so I can see where it's like, yeah, I get that is bullshit that these leaks are coming to these two papers. And then these trash pieces are coming out, these hit pieces. At the same time, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know what to believe. We're in the dark again. So Trump's point is, the real problem is classified information is being leaked out to these horrible papers. It's wrong. It's un-American.
Well, doesn't that suggest that there's merit to the leaks then, if he's saying that, if he's recognizing that shit has been leaked? You know,
yeah.
If the leak didn't happen and there's nothing to it, then you just go, eh.
Well, I think his point, too, is that these leaks have been coming out of these security agencies to these papers for past administrations. And it's illegal, it's bullshit, and it's wrong.
Yeah, he pointed that out in the Netanyahu press conference just a moment ago, even. Yeah. That's how he started it out.
Yeah.
My friend BB here. It's so funny to see him, dude. It's still so surreal.
It is.
President Trump walks out and stands behind that seal.
I know.
And then holds a press conference with a world leader. Bizarre.
It is so bizarre because, like, when there's no doubt, when you hear Trump talk about trade policies or things that a business guy would have extreme interest in and knowledge of, he sounds like a guy that knows what he's talking about. He can dive into those matters. But the fact is, Donald Trump is not a diplomat. He's not he's not a foreign, you know, he's not one of those guys.
Foreign policy wonk.
Right. He's not one of those dudes. And so you kind of get that sense.
Talking about like, settlements and in Israel and shit. And you're like, yeah, what is this guy really?
Well,
but that goes back to my point from months ago, dude. What does a president really know about this shit? They're just fed from their advisors, and he's being fed the same way.
But the problem is, you could feed me all the greatest information in the world, and then if I had to go up and deliver it, I would still sound like a fucking idiot going, well,
yeah, these guys over here don't like those ones, and then, you know, I mean, we need everybody to just, can't we just get along? Yeah.
You know, like, and that's kind of the sense I get. Like, he's just kind of hanging on the edge. Like, he knows just enough to, like, hang in the conversation, but he doesn't sound like a president is supposed to sound, which I think drives a lot of people out of their minds when they hear him, where it's like, this is going to be great, the relationship we've had with the Israelites is an amazing relationship.
One of the best.
One of the greatest relationships you've ever seen. It will continue. These are our great friends. Benjamin, his wife, stand up, take a bow, sweetheart. Like, he's just rambling and throwing things out there. And he's like, I see great things in the future. It's like he doesn't understand, maybe. Like, dude, this... The problem that's going on in the Middle East between Israel and the Palestinians is not something that Jared Kushner is going to walk in and make a sweetheart of a deal and
that's
fix.
That's something. Jared Kushner, his son-in-law, husband of Ivanka, a year ago was running his business. He's a very successful dude.
He's a billionaire,
right?
Yes.
Real estate mogul and all this shit.
Yep.
But a year ago, he's doing that, and now he's sitting there facing the biggest deal, biggest one of the biggest conundrums in the history of the world.
The world. Like, for hundreds of years.
And he's got to make a deal.
If Jared can't solve it, no one can. And it's like, yeah, no one can. That's the problem. You've got
two religions butting heads.
Religious differences.
And you're asking them to cave on core principles.
Yeah. Hmm. Whether you believe...
One of which is funny. You know, the one side just Bibi Netanyahu says, fundamentally, they need to realize that we are people that should not be killed. Okay, well, the extermination of Israelis should not be on their list of things to do.
Well, he's up there, he's talking, and he gets Benjamin Netanyahu gets the platform, and he's like, look, if we're going to reach some sort of agreement, peaceful agreement, we're just going to need
number one,
two things. We're going to need two things, and it's like, all right, cool. Oh, what do we need? A cup of coffee and
a couple hundred bucks over to this guy, a little land issue over here, cut the line a little closer,
a little handshake, a little elbow bump. What are we talking? What do we need? And he's like, we need them to recognize us as human beings. First off, they need to recognize us as sold human beings, that the Jewish people are humans. And secondly, we need them to stop declaring death upon us anytime they can. And if we can start with those two things, we'll be good. And it's like, and Trump's like, reasonable demands. And it's like, dude, they can't even agree that one is human or their lives are worth having, you know, and it's like that to me. It's the problem I had all along with the caliphate. When ISIS declared this is the caliphate, and right then it was like game changer. This is
God's got his hand in this, and I truly believe that
it's game changing because when you get people on their core principles, and you can't fault them because you know people that are Christian and they have their core beliefs, and you wouldn't expect them to like, well, okay, I'll look the other way on that one for now because it makes you happy. No, man, people that have those beliefs, whether you believe them or not, they are what they are, and they're not going to change.
I will point out, however, that Christians would gladly recognize certain race of people or nation of people as human beings that are not to be exterminated from the earth.
Sure.
I will generally acknowledge
for
that.
For the most
part. You know, maybe in history.
For the most part.
There might have been some historical things that, you know, back in the day that happened, but
times. Those are dark time ages, Mark J. That's why they call them the dark ages. They didn't count.
Good point.
No, but with the ISIS thing, where it's like when you hear other people like, "Yeah, no, we've got to find a way to, you know, make peace and blah blah." It's like, no, you don't understand. This is what the caliphate means is they believe that the end times are here. This is God speaking to them personally. Death is welcomed. And part of the deal is death, destruction to the West. Like, that's not something you're just going to, like, over some coffee and some whatever, like, smooth over.
Yeah, that's why it was so frustrating when the prior administration's stance was, oh, we don't want to recognize this as Islamic terror. Mm-hmm. We don't want to push buttons. You know, we don't want to give them any propaganda. It's like, dude, they are at war with our asses. They want to kill us.
They've declared war.
Want to kill us.
Yeah, and if given the chance... You know, when people love saying that, like, well, how about this travel ban? You're just giving them more incentive to want to kill you and recruit. It's like, nah, they've got all the incentive they need. Believe me, if they could find a way to fast track blowing up the United States of America, they would.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
It'll be interesting to me to see how this plays out. I honestly, at this point, I know my liberal friends, Democratic friends are piling on these stories and you know, it sucks because it's just hard to know what to believe, what to trust. It sucks to be sitting in that spot, but
You're right.
That's where we find ourselves.
We'll see how it goes, Mike. The world keeps turning in the meantime.
I know, at least for now.
Hey, Zot Ford and Holly is your SUV headquarters. Treat yourself to a fresh new 17 Ford Escape SE for as low as $108 a month, or a new 16 Ford Edge SE as low as $193 a month. Both Escape and Edge are class leaders in style, safety, fuel economy, and fun. Check out their fresh deals and massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. And moreover, don't forget, for the month of February only, and this is important, Mike, when you buy or lease your next new or used vehicle from Zot Ford, you will receive $500 in free travel from Deals in the D VIP travel website. That's $500, Mike.
It's not bad.
A free hotel stays only for the month of February and only from your friends at dealsinthed.com.
A lot of those hotels have continental breakfast, so that's also like a free meal, too.
There you go.
Meal. Meal. I didn't say meeting. I said meal.
Mike has not been able to stop saying that.
Every time someone says meal, that's all I think.
Meeting? What? I'm having a meal.
You think of the guy you almost killed in England?
Yeah.
Is that? Yeah.
Felt bad. Uh-huh. I still feel bad about that.
Come on, who are you then?
Ronnie Pickering.
Who?
Ronnie Pickering.
Who?
Ronnie Pickering.
Hey, who the fuck's that?
Yeah, me.
Yeah, that's my favorite part. Yeah, me.
Yeah, me.
Yeah, it wasn't that Ronnie Pickering, unfortunately.
Yeah, we got a hold of the wrong Ronnie Pickering, and
he was in the middle of a meal.
He was in the middle of a meal, but it sounded like meeting.
It did. It sounded in your defense.
Like, yeah. So we called him back 5 minutes later after his meeting. It was like, hey, have you wrapped up your meeting yet?
What meeting? I'm having a meal.
Other things. Making a Murderer.
Yes.
Do you remember the...
Oh, that was a lot of fun, dude. I think that's the one thing I binge watched in my life where I couldn't stop, dude.
Yeah.
It was over, I think, like maybe it was last January, New Year's Day or something. New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. I was hooked.
I was so glad you got hooked into that because that was one that grabbed me.
Yeah.
And I started watching it.
You wanted to talk about it?
Yeah, but I couldn't.
Like, no way is Jay going to watch this. Right?
Well, you couldn't go into details about it without, like, if you guys haven't seen it, it's just like, it's dumb. It, you know, I could explain it to you guys, but it wouldn't make sense. But yeah, when you came in and was like, dude, I can't stop watching this. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was fun. But you soon realized after you digested it, like, okay, that was one side of the story.
Yeah.
There's got to be a whole different side because it made people feel incredibly
sympathetic
to, for sure, Brendan,
mm-hmm.
the nephew, and then a lot to Steven. And you had to ask yourself, well, isn't there another side?
Yes, you did. And you know, the fear, I think, for a lot of people was, is it possible? Because if you remember at the time he was originally arrested for that, there was this $36 million lawsuit for wrongful imprisonment for that rape that he didn't commit. He was taken away from his family, his kids, lost everything, thrown in jail for 20 years or something. And so this massive $36 million lawsuit that a lot of people believed could sink that county, you know, that was hanging there. So that gave you enough of an incentive to go, there's a motive there to shut this guy up, throw him in jail and make him look like a monster. And if it costs, if we have to sacrifice his
he's
half
a piece of shit anyway, right?
He's a piece of shit, and his nephew's half retarded anyways, right, too. So fuck him.
But we've seen how useful half retards can be over this very week,
when
right?
Given a chance. When right? given a
when
chance.
Put in the right situation.
But Jay, honestly, if Gab and the kids' livelihood depended on it, wouldn't you? I mean, as far as sacrificial lambs go, you'd cough up E in a second.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't you wrongfully accuse him of something?
Oh, I want the record to be clear. Yes.
Yeah. So you could at least see that, and then when the Making a Murderer came out, and you took in the thought like, they didn't want to pay out $36 million. This is how they were able to get away. It just made that plot all fit together.
Oh, it was tremendously interesting and well put together. Yeah,
yeah. If you're depending on what side you're on, well, remember Ken Kratz, and I fucking hated him almost as much as that squirrely attorney that Brendan had.
Yes.
Oh. What was his name? Len?
Len something. Oh, he's the worst.
He just looked like such a boob.
Yes.
He looked incompetent.
Didn't know what he was doing.
So over his head. He looked like he was being played like a puppet by prosecution teams and cops.
Yeah, he hired his own expert to basically make the guy admit guilt.
Yeah.
His own client is crazy, man.
It was brutal.
But Ken was really annoying too. He had the Kitterman. Mm-hmm. He was the main prosecutor.
Yeah. And he has since gone down to Chinatown for weren't there like sex
dude,
like,
he was
allegations?
In a sexting. Yeah, he got screwed because he was sexting with a complainant or something like that, wasn't
he? Yeah, something like that.
So that came to light, and so I think he had to step down.
Yeah. Well, he had his own practice, so I don't know that he had stepped down. But anyway, that guy, Ken Kratz, that lead prosecuting attorney, has written a book, which comes out in a week or two. E, did we order this book yet?
She actually just got back to me today saying that she'll send one over. So
okay. But he is saying that the producers for Making a Murderer duped millions of viewers into wrongly believing that Stephen Avery is innocent by fabricating facts, omitting key evidence, and using deceptive editing practices to misrepresent even courtroom testimony, which, honestly, this is infuriating. If that's true, what he says, and some of the claims he makes is, you know, this question was asked and you watched it on Making a Murderer. This question's asked to this guy and the judge says, don't answer that. You're not allowed to answer that. And then they take like his answer of yes from a different question and insert it there as if he answered that question. Oof. Shit like that to me is unbelievable. And this is very easy to do as someone who's edited tons of audio.
Yeah,
it's very easy to take and make someone say anything you want.
Yeah.
You would hope people of producing a documentary wouldn't be pulling shit like that.
But once that train got rolling down the track, man, so many people were supportive of the side that Making a Murderer wanted you to support that it must be incredibly frustrating to Ken if that's the case.
Oh, Kenneth. He's been destroyed by us. He says the book is called Avery, The Case Against Steve Avery and What Making a Murderer Gets Wrong. He reveals how the documentary left his life in tatters, Kratz's, that is, including how he received over 4,000 death threats in the aftermath of the series, lost his law firm, his livelihood, and even had exploding packages sent to his office. One of the central theories is that a hole found in a vial of Avery's blood from his false rape conviction proved that it had been tampered with and that the blood could have been taken from it to plant in Teresa's car. Mm-hmm. Remember that moment?
Yeah, for sure.
Kratz's theory was disproved early on with a nurse providing written testimony that she made the hole in the vial when she originally drew the blood from Avery. They never touched on that in the documentary. They never told you that.
Yeah.
That, you know, and there's
so much drama behind that moment. It was like,
oh my God, dude, that's not supposed to, this is tamper proof. Yeah. Remember they made a big deal about the styrofoam container it was in, the tape was cut,
yep.
The police evidence tape, and it was like, what's going on? Oh, there's a hole in the top.
Tremendously dramatic.
Yes. And it bothered me. It was like, so what about that vial, man? Yeah. They just kind of left it alone. And they were like, oh, yeah, well, on to other things. And it was like, that seemed damning as hell the way you guys were going on about it. But that's what happened there. This nurse was like, no, that was me.
Interesting.
Yeah. It says, because the officers had chosen. Oh, so he's talking about why he wrote this book. It's simply, you know, I wanted to set the record straight, clear these officers' names who have been absolutely shredded in the press since then. This isn't what the jury got to see or hear when they decided Mr. Avery was guilty. Because the officers had chosen to stay quiet, I decided somebody had to step forward and stand up for Teresa and for the conviction itself. Not only did Mr. Avery have very, very good representation, but all the issues filmmakers are raising now and presented in Making a Murderer were already presented to the jury. Hmm. So the difference is that in the trial, I got a chance to present evidence to counteract and rebut those allegations, whereas in the series, I didn't. I believe the filmmakers knew they were being dishonest when they presented the case in the manner they did. There wasn't really an effort by mainstream media to call them out. His biggest complaint about the Netflix series was their editing technique called splicing. And that's when he talks about...
Ooh, it sounds very technologically advanced, Mike. Splicing? Oh, I've never heard of such a thing.
Oh, yeah.
Is that where they stop a video and then start it back up at a different point in time?
At a different point, yes.
The splicing out a section.
Yes.
Wow. Well.
Yeah.
This is true. I mean.
This is an outrage, is it not? He says, that, with this technique I call splicing, you're going to want to write that down, splicing.
S-P-L-I.
Which is taking an answer given in one place and using it to answer another question or even a question that was never asked in real life. And so he's talking about the Sergeant Colburn making that call to dispatch to confirm the license plate of Teresa's vehicle so he knew what he was searching for. Standard practice. He says the defense argued that, in fact, Colburn had found the vehicle and was ringing the plate in as he stood behind it to confirm he had the right car, mm-hmm. which would suggest that he found the car days before it was officially found by a member of the public. You remember that?
Yeah, I'm starting. This is all starting to come back.
Yeah,
I got to admit, I don't remember the ins and outs of this case really clearly. But
I remember specifically that officer being on the stand and going, "You son of a bitch! How they didn't find that car for another 2 days? How did you call that plate number in? Do you remember vaguely
yes,
that?
Yes, yes."
He says, "Can you?" And the question was asked, "Can you understand why someone listening might think you were calling in a license plate looking at the back of a 1999 Toyota?" On making the murderer, he answers, "Yes." That's one of those where the judge didn't let him answer.
They used this splicing yes. technique.
Instead, they used what's technically in the business. You know, don't mean to get in the weeds here.
The listeners, make sure you explain that for the listeners.
Do you think they're following this?
Probably not.
It's pretty high level stuff.
We're getting in the weeds a little bit here, but they used a technique known as splicing. And to make him Colburn's yes answer, they took from another question. See, they spliced the yes in.
Interesting.
Where the judge had originally said, "Don't answer that." This editing misrepresented the court testimony. He also points to a 6-second segment of the voicemail, Teresa's voicemail, and says she doesn't know where she's going or who she is meeting, which is edited out of the documentary. The filmmakers did a lot of things like omit things, shuffle things around, or only tell you things that supported their narrative. But when a filmmaker is willing to show trial testimony and tell viewers this is what happened, this is what the jury got to see, and then afterwards you find out it's not, it's unforgivable. They edited trial testimony to make witnesses look dishonest and unprofessional, and it served to cast certain people, such as Sergeant Colburn, as villains.
That is bullshit, man, if that's the case, because these are real people. You know, as he said, his life's been ruined. These cops' lives have been ruined.
Yes.
We're not just talking about a fictional dramatic show, which cool, you know, that'd be fun to watch. Very dramatic circumstances there.
Yeah.
Instead, they're dealing with a real case and real people.
Yeah.
That then this thing goes viral, and dude, that was so huge. I wonder how many watches there were.
Oh, millions.
Yeah. That went so viral, and yeah, I mean, people know those names now. They remember those names when you say them.
Well, and much like with the Duke lacrosse things, you know, with stories, the retraction that comes 2 weeks later, the page 3.
Yeah.
A lot of people will probably get this, you know. They just saw the movie and the Netflix series, and now they think what they think.
Exactly. And they're like me, they don't remember the ins and outs of the evidence, and they're looking at Ken going, "Oh, sure, Ken. Yeah, no, I'm sure you have a different story. Okay."
Yeah.
But you know, that Brendan guy was railroaded, right? I mean, that's kind of how most people will feel.
And you could understand if someone was like, "Hey, we've been hired by the Averys to present Steven's side of events or his story," and you know it's a weighted thing where, you know, do we have to show that segment? And it's like, okay, you're putting that. But when a documentary crew comes in to, like, you know, whatever their preconceived notions are, but they're supposed to, you know, supposedly being an impartial judge.
Yeah,
and like,
I think that's what most people think, but maybe we think differently when we're presented with these things in the future. Maybe this changes everything.
Yeah. It's scary.
God damn it.
It sucks, because that video definitely, it was almost to the point of unbelievable how fucked over they looked in certain places. And you held back more than most. Like, you were still like, there's got to be more to this story.
Yeah, yeah.
You held that belief for a while. But anyway, for Kratz, he says the tragedy became the devastating impact the series had on the lives of Lieutenant Lenk, who was one of the cops, Sergeant Colburn, and himself. All three received these thousands of death threats. Their families were accosted in the street and homes. Lieutenant Lenk, poor son of a bitch, suffered a heart attack soon after came out.
Oh, Lenk.
While Sergeant Colburn was so afraid, he bought a gun for his wife. She's blind. He bought his blind wife a gun, was like, "If you see or hear anything coming up the porch, just pull the trigger," I guess.
Wow.
Yeah.
God, wait a minute. What?
Yes.
How is that going to work?
Just point and shoot, baby.
Yeah.
At what?
Anything you hear. I mean, death threats are rolling in on a daily basis. We can't be too sure. What weapon would you give her?
Flamethrower or gun, yeah.
Flamethrower or gun? Yeah. But if she makes a mistake with a flamethrower or a gun, it's tragic. I mean,
yeah, it could be.
Pepper spray, beanbag gun?
A cane?
Cane?
Then she can walk with it and she can hit people.
Yeah. Well, she could do that anyways, but Kratz lost his law firm in the aftermath of the documentary, no longer practices. This case killed his practice completely. He doesn't even practice anymore. I received many death threats, hateful emails, calls to my practice in Wisconsin, and because of the outrage directed towards me, we had people calling our office every minute, tying up one of our phone lines, so we couldn't deal with legitimate law firm calls. Existing clients felt intimidated. They didn't want me as an attorney because of all the attention, so they drove my law firm absolutely into the dirt.
Think about that. What is your responsibility if you're a filmmaker like that to real people?
Yeah,
like Ken Kratz.
Yeah, I know. It's terribly tragic if that's true. What he's saying in this book, and I suppose if it's bullshit, there will be lawsuits about this. But I know there are always real people behind these documentaries. And yeah, what do you do with them? I don't know. He says these people deserve to have their reputations returned to them. In 11 years, no one has been able to come up with any evidence that suggests either one of these cops was involved in Avery's prior case or did anything unethical or dishonest. And not one shred of evidence has been found because these are two of the most honest cops I've ever met. You might think, oh, this is just entertainment, but very real people were impacted in a very real way by the filmmaker's deception to be deceptive. Mm. He's going to be on Dateline, I guess, this week, along with Tom Fassbender, who was
remember
one
that
of the,
name.
Yeah, he was one of the detectives.
Okay.
And then, you know, more and more is coming out, but I guess Brendan Dassey is not quite as innocent either. And he goes on.
Did he get out yet?
No, he's not. The judge is still looking at that.
WrestleMania is coming up, isn't that?
Shit, another one? Another round of WrestleMania?
Well, in April, I mean, but I'm just saying, you know.
Well, according to Kratz, he says, you know, they manipulated the video that you saw of that. He said there were plenty, like, in other video that they didn't show you of interrogations with Brendan Dassey, he gave almost, he gave full statements without interruption that were not coerced by cops, that were... And he's the one that led us to places in the house and garage and to DNA evidence that we would not have been able to find without his knowledge of it. Like he led them to the bullet fragment, which is another thing he says is bullshit. He says there were two bullets. One was in the cement, was destroyed. No forensic evidence was be able to be gotten from that. There was another bullet that was found that came from Avery's shotgun and had Teresa's DNA on it. And he said he pointed us to that bullet in the garage. Now, when you watch Making a Murderer, they reference that bullet and they say, yeah, there was no evidence to be gotten off that bullet. It's
you're going to get hammered for this, so I just want you to correct the record right now. A bullet is not going to come out of a shotgun. So I just FYI.
You had that look in your face like you were glossing over, like you weren't listening anymore.
Well, I was just like, oh, boy.
I
don't want to look like a smartass, but... Yeah, it's gonna shoot a shell full of shotgun shot or a slug.
Yeah.
But it's not just...
I thought it was a shotgun, and they're talking about bullet fragments.
I thought there was a rifle used.
Rifle. Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah.
It's a huge difference between a rifle and a shotgun. Okay.
All right.
I don't want to belabor the point.
No, you do.
No, you would have got hammered, so I just saved you from it. That's all.
I was willing to deal with that.
You
know.
Consider long guns long guns.
Yes.
Okay.
If I see a long gun, yeah.
I'm going to pull the trigger.
Pull the trigger, yeah.
Bang. It goes boom.
Bang, bang.
I get my clip.
Yeah.
I put it in my gun.
Yeah, don't say clip either.
And then I
bang, bang off a bunch of rounds, leaving bullets everywhere.
Right.
But yeah, he says that he feels kind of bad for Brendan because he's like, I don't think Brendan Dassey's a murderer.
Yeah.
There was also a motive laid out from Brendan, too, like, I guess Steven touched his penis.
Oh.
That's what Brendan claimed at one point. He was touching his penis and stuff. But I guess, remember when his girlfriend was in jail, like a drunk driving or some shit?
Yes.
And she'd been in there for months. She couldn't get bail or whatever, and multiple offender. And Avery was all pissed off and was like, because I'm not getting any.
You want to get that last nut off.
Yeah, he wanted to get a nut off. And so he was bitching to Brendan about how I can't bust this last nut at all because these fucking pigs have her locked up in jail.
Yeah.
And so that was 2 days before Teresa Halbach was called over, and then Steven raped her, and he gave details, Brendan did, about how we
dragged her body over to the fire, and yeah. Steven was crushing her bones in the fire pit, and we put her phone in there, too.
And then he led them to that Toyota RAV4, Brendan did, and said, yeah, then Steven lifted the latch on the front, and they tested that latch on the front, and then they found like sweat DNA glands from Stephen Avery on that exact spot where Brendan said. So I don't know. Take it.
It's almost like to Ease point.
Sure.
Where you have to, you know, this retraction that newspapers bury on page three to change the story or claim that they made a mistake. Oops. You almost need to watch this again and read Ken's book and put them side to side. Because I just frankly, and everybody's going to be like this, they sort of remember the evidence.
Yeah.
But I think mostly they're going to look at this as go, yeah, of course, Ken. Of course there's another side. Sure.
Well, it's funny you say that because I was like, I wonder how, because I remember the comments when I would read articles about this, and I love reading people's comments. You know, everyone has the answer. And everybody was like, I mean, 99% of comments were like, this guy's innocent, railroaded, the system's fucking him, these cops trying to get out of blah, blah, blah. And I was guilty of that too. If you watch that documentary, it was very hard to come away from that not going, you motherfuckers, especially for the 16-year-old kid.
Yeah.
But so I was like, oh, I wonder reading some of these articles if the things, nah, everyone still thinks, yeah, fat fuck, full of shit is what you are, liar.
But seriously, I wonder if you watched it and lined it up, and, you know, had Kratz rebut each point.
Yeah.
It's almost like you'd need like director's commentary on a DVD. You know, watch that with Ken Kratz and have him pause and go, okay, that's fine, but this is what so and so said here, and here's the testimony.
And then
you could weigh it, and okay.
I don't even have as much of a problem if it's like, you guys are really pushing for, you really honestly believe he's an innocent man, and you want to highlight all the evidence that doesn't make the prosecution's case look that strong, and so you can see that. But when I hear, like,
splicing,
not to get into the weeds again, but that shit really is bullshit, dude. If you're taking guys' deceptive answers and moving them around to make it fit your narrative, that's where you can do more harm than anything, because that's going to come out eventually.
Right.
You know, I'd love to talk to those filmmakers, but we should be able to talk to Ken Kratz, though, when that book comes.
Yeah, cool.
He should be giving interviews, so we can look forward to that.
We've talked to a couple Averys. They haven't added much more than, yeah.
We talked to Alan, didn't we?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Headed over to Oshkosh.
The
dogs need to be let in.
We talked to Alan, right? Alan's
the brother. We talked to the dad, we talked to the mom, and then we talked to a brother the second time, yeah.
Well, Kratz is pointing out, you know, the Avery family really fucked over Brendan because they knew that if he played ball with the cops and rolled on Steven, that it was game over. They wouldn't get this money they were looking forward to help the salvage yard. So they really, really, really steered him, gave him shit advice about this murder and not playing ball with the cops, especially Alan Avery. And they've got these recorded phone calls.
Oh, interesting.
And so he's like, they really did a disservice to this kid and fucking buried him.
Wow.
You know, ruined his life essentially, where he would have been facing, I don't know, 10, 15 years, but he would have had his whole adult life ahead of him.
Sure.
Yeah, for what it's worth. Yeah.
Hey, Mike, before we go much further, I think we should announce our prize pack winners.
Sure.
Remember, we told people if you donate to South Oakland Shelter $50 or more, we'll put your name in a hat.
I vaguely remember that.
You remember this?
It's coming back to me.
And in our prize pack, we're including passes to Mr. C's Car Wash. Now, these have bigly value, Mike.
Bigly.
Express washes plus the works, which is interior and exterior.
This deal's going to be so great for the Jews.
You're getting passes to Mr. C's. You're getting Motor City Design Shop providing these cool wood signs that we went over last week.
Mm-hmm.
Wearables from ReviewVintage.com. And a tactical knife will be included as well.
You'll get some combination, because we're not going to have equal parts of all of these. So
We might. We'll see. Matt Steele. Congratulations, sir. Bill Foucher and Elise Getcher. Getter. Elise Getter.
You want to try that again?
Getter.
Getter.
What do you do with a CH in front of a T? Is it just getter?
Getter!
Does it fall? Elise, getter!
Getter!
Elise!
Getter! She's constantly been attacked by just packs of people her entire
life.
Elise who?
Getter!
People are just fucking, mob rules. Elise Getter, poor thing's been just attacked but like by savages every step of her life.
Apologize for butchering your name, Elise, if that's,
I gotta give
could
credit.
Be Getter, right?
It could be Getter, could be Getcher, could be
Matt Steele, Bill Foucher, and Elise
Getter.
You are all winners, so we will be in contact.
You guys are winning so much, you're gonna get tired of winning. That's how much winning we're doing over here at the Detroit Cast.
Oh, look at this guy. Hey, buddy.
Oh, no. Something bad happened to him, didn't he?
Yeah. It's not good.
Isn't he a cute little
kid?
What
is he, like 1.5 or 2?
He's 2. Does that count as a dead baby, by the way? 2 years old? That's
no,
not,
he's walking,
not,
talking.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Still pooping his pants, likely.
Yeah.
He can't help
he's
it.
So adorable. Look at this little kid. Oh, 2-year-old boy murdered in Chicago yesterday. Yeah. Gang-related shooting. Streamed live on Facebook. Yep. Levante White was riding in a car with his 20-year-old aunt and his aunt's boyfriend when a gunman cut them off, got out of the car, and just opens fire in the vehicle. The boy's aunt was is pregnant, happened to be filming at the time. They were singing like rap songs in the front seat.
Really? And then they just get ambushed. Holy
yeah,
shit.
Someone pulls up. But, you know, so they're singing for like 3 minutes on this video, and then all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose. She runs down an alley where they're driving and begs for a neighbor to let her into her home. Call 911. They killed him. I have a bullet in my stomach. Would you let that person in at that point? Or would you be like, stay here on the porch?
Yeah,
I'm going to go in and call
right back. Just stay right here.
I'm going to go get my gun, and then I'm going to call 911, and I'll bring you a blanket and water.
Yeah.
I don't know that. It would stain everything. Plus,
really would. Blood is hard to get out of things.
Yeah. I don't know that I'd be like dying. Like, oh, please come in. Like, I don't want you bringing in whatever shit led to this moment into my world. Now you've involved
me. It's a big problem. Yeah.
Yeah. Please, I can't breathe. Oh my God, please don't, Lord. I can't go.
Lord God, Jesus, help me.
Yeah, exactly. Levante and the boyfriend were shot in the head. The 2-year-old and the boyfriend were shot in the head during the attack. Both pronounced dead. The aunt sustained gunshot wounds to her stomach, but she and the unborn baby are doing okay. They're in fair condition, are expected to survive.
No, this isn't Beirut, ladies and gentlemen. This is Chicago.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, the boyfriend, and this is what pisses you off about the mom, the boyfriend's a known gang member. And it's like, so you've got a gang member and his fucking girlfriend with their pregnant girlfriend and a 2-year-old in the back seat.
Properly restrained?
I don't know. But, you know, it's just infuriating. This kid was the second little toddler to die from gun violence in Chicago. Takiya Holmes died from wounds she suffered. Another girl, 12-year-old Kanari Gentry. Bowers was wounded in a shooting. She's on life support right now. Rahm Emanuel released a statement saying that when children are killed, our consciences are shaken and our hearts are broken. So hopefully they get a hashtag going or something.
That would be helpful, I think, at the very least. Children's lives matter.
Well, if we could just tamp it down with a good hashtag and like stop it in its tracks. I mean, we can't bring back the fallen, but
I'd retweet that hashtag.
Would you?
Yeah.
If it's a good one, you know, you'd have to, you know, bring back our girls or
don't
something.
Don't kill kids, you know.
Yeah.
Stop shooting our kids. Yeah.
That's more powerful. Stop shooting our kids, but it's a little long.
Yeah. Knock that shit off.
Yeah. Stop kid killing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. It sucks. Let's take a quick break, Jay.
Okay.
And then I've got an update on, remember the guy that was doing the Venus Williams
tennis
match?
Remember this. He's filed suit, Mike.
Guerrilla tactics. Ooh, talking about Venus Williams using guerrilla tactics, and people were like, whoa,
racist, what a racist. He's white, he said gorilla, and he's talking about Venus Williams. Racist.
Give you an update on him and much more next.
The Detroit Cast continues after this short break.
Hey, it's Steve Gabara, the general manager at Zotford & Holly and DealsInTheD.com. And boy, do I have an incredible deal that's going to knock your socks off. Now, and while supplies last, you get 0% financing for 72 months and over $10,000 off the sticker of a brand new 16 Ford F-150 Supercab XLT 4x4. Friends, this isn't 10K off or 0% financing. Right now, only at Zot Ford, you get both. Surf our marvelous deals and massive inventory at DealsInTheD.com.
The Detroit Cast continues now, bitches. Here's Mike and Jay.
All right, welcome back to the Detroit Cast. Making our way through the week here. Forgot to have you...
bring us back?
Yeah.
I can do it next week.
Remind me, it's been a hectic week. But
it has been. This has been a little bit of a different week. A little different rhythm, would you say?
I would say that's true, sure.
With the whole equipment failure yesterday in the Zot Ford courtesy shuttle.
Yeah, when E chewed through the wire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that threw us off kilter. Just several things have. So we'll do it next week.
All right.
Sounds we should mention though some incentives maybe for listeners to keep giving. Again, our goal is 25,000. We're not there yet, Mike.
Yeah, we're not resting on our laurels.
We're not resting. We got over this $20,000 hump, which was huge. Mm-hmm. We got over that.
Did you think we were going to hit 20?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You did?
Yeah, I have huge confidence in everybody.
Okay. I didn't know if you were like, we're at 15 and 2 days to go or whatever.
No. And I know we're going to hit that 25. Now, what we need to do is provide some incentive for people, though. I mean, they want to see Big E suffer, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if we can get to 23, is that fair? By 9 p.m. tonight, we can make him suffer a little bit?
Sure.
Okay, we're at 21.
You going to beat him? Or?
Oh, we could.
You're going to beat him?
Well, I didn't know. You said suffer.
That would require a second trip out here. Yeah. I guess I could drive down to beat him. But
it'd be fun, dude. I know you got a lot going
imagine
on.
Imagine if we hit it, and then I'm just sitting in that tent, and he just walked in and punched me in the face.
Just started pounding E.
See a fist come in.
For the charity.
I know E has committed to make on your driveway if we hit 25.
Wait a minute.
E, you did this without consultation of the homeowner? Is this true?
I'm just trying to help the charity. I mean,
he's flying by the seat of his pants out there.
I do not want E taking a shit, making, as you put it, on my driveway.
I'll tell you what,
I'd rather he came on the driveway.
If he makes, I'll tell you what, I'll commit to get it off your driveway.
And how are you going to do
it? I will clean it up. I'll bring a shovel or something.
Is it going to be the shovel whip?
Yeah, I'll take a shovel. Right. You've seen me whip some dead birds.
Yeah,
I can shovel an E-turd out back.
Where are you going to throw it?
Out back. Back 40. What do you think? Man. It'll be worth it.
Can he make on the grass?
Squatting like an animal.
Can we have him make on the grass?
No, he committed to the driveway.
I know, but I don't want to.
I think it's better because then you see the little turd sitting there. It'd be like the poo emoji.
Yeah.
You know? Because in the grass, man, you'd lose sight of it. Kinda.
Is this going to be filmed? Like, will people get to see him make?
Oh, God. Right? Yeah, right, E?
I guess.
You'll Facebook Live yourself making?
I did say that I think that if we do that, for people to think it's just going to, oh, well, if they hit 25, boom, I'll be on the driveway. It might be next week on a day when I come in.
Oh, E. When this I'm seems ready like to... taking a knee to me. There could be some laxatives involved, E, if you're worried about making. You are bound. He's very bound right now.
Lots of cheese and carbs.
Actually, yeah. I did have
pretty healthy one.
A pretty decent one, luckily, when I was working with fixing the camera. I had to go once.
Did you feel that dam break? You know, every now and then when you're bound up, you're not feeling regular the last couple days, and you feel that dam break. You're like,
I looked down into the toilet and saw what had been deposited, and I was like, that's good.
Yeah.
That'll do, pig.
I've made.
That'll do, pig.
Well, there's another. So that's the $25,000. That's like the holy grail.
Yeah, to have E making. So what do we do? Like, give him, like, flip a painter's bucket upside down, cut a hole in it, let him sit like he's like it's a toilet.
No. This is like if Izzy were to come over and make on your driveway.
Okay.
You know, Izzy doesn't require a bucket. She goes. When she's got to go, she goes.
I even suggested possibly Mike putting a collar on, like putting Izzy's collar on.
Oh, and taking you for a walk?
Walking it out.
It gets worse.
Yeah, I've got my poop bags here for Big E. Once my dog goes and makes.
Oh, so that's the holy grail at 25. Now, if we get to 23, we will take his cot and we'll feed him beer tonight, right?
Yes. Okay. All right. That's doable. Yeah. That's doable. So what are we at now? Do you know?
We're at 21.5. So we're within striking distance for sure.
So what does that mean? We need another 1,500?
Another 1,500 gets us there.
All right. Gets a
cot taken away, so some discomfort for my man.
Oh, that driveway is not comfortable, and it's very cold.
As driveways go, it does not look comfortable, Mike.
Yeah. So we need 3,500 for him to shit on the driveway.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, here's another. No, we need. Yeah, 3,500. Here's another offer from the Wee Wisp family.
Ah.
This is interesting. Hey, guys, I know we're a little late to the game here, but we still have Wisp's eyes and cojones sitting in cold storage in our basement.
Oh, wow.
Crazy question, but if you think it would help the cause, we'd be willing to donate one or both as an auction item to help with the SOS fundraiser.
All right. E, would you be willing to eat the Wee Wisp's eye?
No.
Okay, his balls.
His balls. I knew you'd be more in favor of that one.
We'll let you cook them up. We'll let you put them in a frying pan.
Or seasoning. I don't want them cooking in the house, so we're using a pan. But we'll let you put some salt and
pepper. Yeah, you can roll it in a salt and pepper mix, maybe.
Yeah. Could you do that, E? Like, pop it in your mouth and then with water, like, flush down the Wee Wisp's ball bag?
No.
That sounds like some incentive. Like if we could get to 24, maybe we throw the WeeWiss balls into
the. You're gonna have to get to 30. You know, we get to 30.
E, you willingly sniffed Mike's ball hand the other day. You've lit your dick on fire. You've drank piss.
In his defense, I think sniffing my finger of ball remnants is a little different than swallowing my balls.
You know what's interesting is Nina pointed out, she thanked us for the hospitality, you know, the other night. Nina came in with her husband, Todd. And she did note it. She said they took note on the way home. Like, oh, my God, we shook their hands after they reached down and grabbed their ball bags.
Yeah, yeah.
So they did take note
Beth
of that.
Beth and Gab do it all the time, though, and they're fine.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, they haven't died yet.
Yeah.
But what she noted was E put up more of a stink to the rolling of the R's than he did to the sniffing of your ball finger.
Yeah, I know.
I hate that rolling of the R's. I hate it.
Have people been asking you to roll your R's?
Yes.
They have?
I've been doing it, but I hate it.
Well, you're getting better at it, so that's a good thing.
See some progress.
Would have been embarrassing a couple years ago, but
I agree.
It's gotten better.
I actually felt bad, you know, now that I think about it, just since you brought up the listener that was in here, which is why she was here. She was a member, and she won a prize. I actually felt a little bad. She coughed at one point, and I kind of gave her like a stern look and was like, or something like, hey.
E likes to do that to listeners. He's done that. You've done that to a few of them.
Right.
Like turn around and give them the stink eye. He's fucking around.
He shushes them, basically.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's an adult shush.
But I did see her face, and I felt like I meant to apologize after the show, and I'd forgotten because we had getting the tent going. But I meant to say like, I was just kidding. But I felt like her face.
That's
looked...
probably why she added at the end. P.S. Tell E's a fucking dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How dare he give me the stink eye when I coughed.
Read that P.S. until I brought up a situation. It seems like you would have just brought that up right at the beginning.
Yeah.
Moving on to other things, tennis broadcaster, young Doug Adler.
I didn't know this guy before this scenario.
Nah, not a big tennis fan, are you?
Is anybody anymore? Mm. Does anybody watch?
I imagine Wimbledon and U.S. Open. People
I used to watch it all the time.
I know golf is very much on people's radar still.
Yeah.
Although that's waned a bit maybe with Tiger out. But although he's on his way back, Mike.
Oh, is he?
But tennis, God, I mean, when's the last time tennis was really on my radar?
I'll tell you for me, when it went away, personally, I know you guys could have things from the 70s or 80s even. But for me personally.
Come on, E. We weren't watching
70s. Okay, 80s.
All right, 80s. Bjorn Borg, I'll admit it.
Okay. But for me personally, in high school, I actually got into it because in the summer, Wimbledon would be on and we didn't have cable.
Wimbledon.
Whatever. We didn't have cable. So, like, it would come on in July every year and I just watched it. I got into it. And so Sampras and Agassi and a few of those guys in the late 90s, early 2000s, I got into it.
Yeah, Wimbledon is fun to watch.
And and there was those two, Sampras and Agassi, had one final showdown in a major, and it was the U.S. Open in New York. And I think it was my senior year of high school, and it was real exciting, real big. And then after once Sampras and Agassi were gone, one's filled that void to me that I've wanted to
like
watch.
It's kind of like heavyweight boxing, where there was a few decades where you got these amazing fighters that were personable. And like now I couldn't tell you.
Federer was so dominant for so long.
Yeah.
I think that kind of like people get sick of just watching the same.
Talking about, though, when you're talking about Bjorn Borg, or Yvonne Lendl.
Oh, dude, McEnroe, Jimmy Connors,
those
were some battles, huh?
They were unbelievable.
And those guys had some personalities too. The Americans,
and that led into Agassi and Sampras and all that. And then you had Pat Cash's run for a year,
sure,
with the bandana.
Absolutely,
I love Pat Cash. Came out of nowhere.
How about the red-haired guy who was really good for a while? You know who I'm talking
about.
Oh
yeah.
Whatever.
I
thought you.
Yeah, that. No, I know
but
who
Sampras
you're
was
about.
So good for so long.
You know, tennis for real. You say that. Is anyone into it anymore? And I agree with you. I don't think it's as big. If it's good though, like when you describe like battles, if you do get two people that are battling, it can be very exciting.
Here's my thing though.
The men
with the equipment, it's gotten to be just like serve ace.
You're right.
It's so fast. Mm-hmm. They're so powerful. The women, it's a better game. The women's game.
A lot
is
of people agree with that statement that the women's game, you get more rallies.
Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is,
the guys are just hitting it too hard.
What would you do to that? You know, though, I don't know how you could stop that because the men, like you said,
give them frying pans.
Right. Make their don't let them use these newer rackets. I guess.
Well, the guy in question, Doug Adler, is suing ESPN for some unfortunate statements he made during the Australian Open when he was talking about Venus Williams. He's part of his claim says that he suffered emotional distress, alleging he was wrongly branded a racist and lost other TV opportunities because of this controversy. He's 59 years old, was a pro tennis player at one point, been covering tennis forever. And it was during a second-round match against this woman from Switzerland, Stephanie Vogel, when he described, you know, Venus Williams' aggressive tactics. And she misses the first serve, and Venus is all over. You see Venus move in and put the gorilla effect on her, charging. And he goes on to say kind of what we thought at the time. He's probably talking about guerrilla tactics, like guerrilla warfare.
You mentioned that. I wasn't so sure about that.
Yeah.
But even if he's talking about a guerrilla, it doesn't mean he's calling Venus a guerrilla,
yeah.
like the he animal.
Definitely. Well, in
even
my opinion.
Even if he's saying, she, you know, oh, charging like a guerrilla, it doesn't mean just yeah. because you refer to a black person that's in the same paragraph as a guerrilla that you are calling yeah. them subhuman.
Yeah.
Okay? He could have said she's charging like a lion.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, he said gorilla, unfortunately, in this PC culture of it, of ours.
Yeah.
But his spin is that it's gorilla, like guerrilla warfare.
Guerrilla warfare. And he goes a little further, too. He says that he apologized for his poor choice of words, which I have a problem with right off the bat. But I guess if you're trying to save your gig and it's like, fuck.
Yeah, they went
hey,
to him
I'm sorry.
And like, apologize. He's like, all right.
Whatever. Okay, I apologize. So he went and said, you know, I'm sorry for my poor word choice, I guess. And they ESPN fired him 2 days later. Anyways, his lawyer says the irony is that Adler called everything correctly and in a professional manner, whereas ESPN is the one that did not. They recklessly made that call, the wrong call. It was not only political correctness gone overboard, but also a cowardly move that ruined a good man's career. Adler said that it was shocking to be treated this way by folks who've known me forever.
Well, there you go. This guy's now painted as this racist.
Yeah. Yep. Anybody
fired.
That's
fired
yeah.
from
because and that gives yeah. and that gives credence to it. Like, oh, ESPN didn't believe him. You know, they oh,
sure
they looked at him as racist. So this guy must be a racist.
You know, you say that, and you're right. That is what people would think. But what do you, they didn't believe? What? What did they ask him? Hey, did you mean? Did I mean you know what I
did
mean?
You call her a gorilla? Did you call her
because
subhuman?
She's black?
Yeah.
Did they say? Did you call her that because? I mean.
No, it's this world
they
we live in.
They got enough pressure on Twitter, right?
They
Twitter
have,
probably went nuts.
Twitter goes nuts, and we've seen this for years and years now. This effect where it's like, oh my God, Pepsi has to fire. You know, you have to make this statement as if by standing by your guy, as if it would be outrageous for you to come out and go, you know what? I understand you heard what you think you heard, but. As people that have worked and known this gentleman for many, many years, know him and his family, know his work ethic, the farthest thing from his mind would have been something like this, and we're going to stand by our guy. You know, but nobody can do that now. It's like you don't want to give them the ability to go,
yeah.
Oh, ESPN must think it's cool to call black women gorillas.
That's
obviously, they kept him. You know, and so the easy thing to do, the easy, cowardly, pussy, shitty thing to do is
kind
just
of
go
a no-brainer.
Fired, which is fine if it fits. If it fits, and if there was a history where off-air,
right.
this Adler guy is like, ah, these fucking blacks. You know, he's making comments, and people are like, you know.
Dude, he's calling a game, which must be so hard to do.
Yeah.
You know, you and I have never done this. We talked to Belizean. He's talked about doing it. He's done that for years. Call a hockey game. Can you imagine all the movement in a hockey game having
pace.
To do that? You know, tennis, same way. They're moving around. You're trying to comment on each play.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to give some color to it.
Some original. Oh, careful,
I went
Jay.
There.
Yeah.
I went there.
Oh, boy.
But, yeah, trying to describe things in an original, quick way.
Mm-hmm.
You and I talk all the time. We misspeak all the time.
I
have to believe that's extremely hard to do without stepping in something at some point in a decade-long career.
And it's a really shitty way because the fact is if you do any sort of thing where you're publicly speaking on a microphone – it's a fact. You're going to say shit that you're going to think back on and go, you know what? I went over the line there. I didn't mean that the way that came out. I've done it to myself 100 times with shit I've said on this very show and gone, that was probably too far. I was going for a joke. It landed flat, and I probably looked like a fucking prick there. And then you reflect on it. But the nice thing here is if someone's going to write to our CEO, Jay's going to be the one to respond to it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have to worry about that. It's a shitty position to be in if you're walking on this edge where we have this society that wants to go, ha ha, ha ha, look what he did, look what he did, and then showcase it to the world. Look what a hero I am for noticing this injustice. and then calling for people's heads.
Yeah, so that's the environment. You can't entirely blame ESPN here. They're stuck in a tough spot because you've got this outrage, and the easiest, cleanest thing to do is go see you, dude.
Yeah.
Now, this is, I will say, I'm usually predisposed to be against kind of, you know, the plaintiff, the lawsuit that's brought. I don't know, man. I hope the guy kind of takes it.
Yeah.
And gets a bit of money out of this, because that is quite a conclusion to jump to. Mm-hmm. And it certainly looks like something that could have been really innocently said.
Yeah.
And this guy is flat out branded a racist now.
Oh, dude, Google his name. Eye. 3 months ago, if you Googled the name Doug Adler, you would have gotten ESPN tennis commentator, Australian Open, U.S. Open, Wimbledon. You would have gotten Player of the Year, 1959, as a professional. Like those are the things that would have come up. Now, if you Google his name, it will be just like racist, vile bullshit. You know, and I know that's easy to do because it makes you feel better, like you're championing the cause. I'm not standing for this anymore. But you don't know what you're talking about, and you just completely trashed a guy's livelihood, his family, career, and those are the things that drive me out of my mind. Yeah. Because I think it's very, very clear when people have when someone's hateful and they can't disguise it, it's obvious. It's vile. It's obvious. And when you don't just recognize those instances and go, you know what, we're not standing for this bullshit. I don't care if he's the CEO of our company. That is inexcusable and unacceptable. And blow him out and send a message. I'm fine with that. But it's these ones where we've got an entire group of warriors, heroes, just lying in wait, looking for one thing they can take you said out of context and destroy you for it.
The tail is certainly wagging the dog in a large respect. You see these large behemoth, big corporate American companies that are being controlled by the Twitter sphere.
Yeah.
It's incredible, man.
It is. Well, to his point, part of his lawsuit is it was that anyone who's competed in sports knows exactly the meaning of the term I used, period. He said Gorilla Tennis was the name of a Nike TV ad from the 90s featuring Andre Agassi and Pete Sampras. Obviously, he saw that commercial many times, and the phrase became widely used by those
What's
who actually
quote?
Understood.
She charged like a gorilla.
Who understood the tennis vernacular and followed the sport closely. They would understand the gorilla tactics.
What's
that,
his
that
quote?
A player,
what did he
I
say?
I don't remember what his exact quote
if
was.
He said she charged like a gorilla. I think that's disingenuous for him to now try to put it in the context of solely this Andre Agassi Sampras type gorilla tactical thing.
I see Venus move in and put the gorilla effect on charging.
Okay. Charging.
Yeah.
Gorilla effect. Yeah, it could go both ways. Seriously, but I think he's fine either way.
Right. I do too. I love the point you made that just what now you have to ignore like gorilla's existence if you're talking about a black person.
Have you ever
can't
seen
even
Harambe charge? Oh. You know that's a gorilla charges.
Wow.
A lion charges. A tiger charges. He was grasping for a phrase, and that's what he came up with.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think if you're going to go to that point, and I know it's a pipe dream, and it's you're never going to get there, especially in this world we're living in right now. But I think unless you know for sure that someone is a monster and is making that comment like that, I think you have to give people the benefit of the doubt.
I'm sure his legal team will be doing this, poring over whatever other matches that he's done over the years, trying to find other instances where he said that with respect to white players.
every single time he's ever done a black person's game, he's like, look at that monkey charge. Look at that gorilla tactics being used.
Yeah, he never references
there.
This gorilla tactics unless it's a Williams.
Wasn't that how they tried to take down a Howard Cosell? With
look
at that little monkey run. And then they were pointing out, like, he calls his grandson, look at that little monkey. Like, that was his term
endearment.
Kids running around and shit. Like, he's not a racist. You kidding me?
He's no Jimmy the Greek.
Yeah. Jimmy the Greek.
Mike, we have an important
some good points, by the way.
Important message. Hold on.
Well, the slaves, the way they were raised, they would mate the strongest one with the strongest woman, and they would make a super slave. Mm-hmm. And over generations of that, their muscles were bigger and stronger. And so that's why athletically you're seeing them come out now, and they're just bigger and stronger, and it's hard for whites to compete on that level.
Jimmy the Greek, 1982.
Crickets.
Everyone's like,
ooh. Yeah, I'm just going to go over here. Go Blacks! Pretend he didn't say that, and I wasn't in the room. How about that?
Ah, the Greek. Hey, we have an important message from financial advisor Mark Leibovitz, Miguel. You're no longer at your previous employer. Should you roll your 401k over, or should it still be there? What are your options? Leave the money with the plan, roll it over to assets to the employer's new plan.
Should call Mr. Adler. He recently lost his job, I heard. He should probably roll his over.
Yeah, I know. Roll over to an IRA or cash out the account value. These are all options. Call Mark Leibovitz at LPL Financial today for a complimentary consultation to see if an IRA rollover may be the right decision for you. Call 248-626-2000. Ask for Mark.
Yeah.
E? Oh, sorry.
Step up.
Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA SIPC.
E, isn't that your symbol right there?
Those
puzzle pieces?
Shut up.
That's E's symbol, right?
He's checking his white privilege, right?
No. Aren't these officially like the symbol for autism?
Oh, right. Yes. Autism speaks.
So someone
speaks every day into the microphone.
Yes, they are.
Is someone appropriating E's symbol?
I don't know.
Well, this Elizabethtown College Democrats launched a project over the weekend called "Oh My God, It's the Personal Identity Campaign," and like we're gonna make a difference in the world. And so this overwhelmingly white liberal arts college is has got people wearing these puzzle pieces, these white puzzle pieces as pins.
And E, don't be offended. These are white puzzle pieces, whereas the autism symbols are all colored.
Like, oh, yeah, it's like rainbow and stuff. Yeah.
Oh, so they include it. Well, these are specifically white, Jay, and we're supposed to wear these as white people.
Gotcha.
To remind us of our privilege. So if we're just going about our day and we, for whatever reason, forget to acknowledge our own privilege, mm-hmm. when we catch a glimpse of ourselves in the mirror, it's like, oh, shit, my white privilege. I got to check that
just
again.
Just know that all white people are fucking devils.
And it should remind us of the struggles, racial struggles and identity, blah, 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 of others. Eileen Ida is the president of the College Democrats. She's spearheading the white pin campaign.
Sure.
The goal of the project is to get people to openly talk about race and white privilege. There's the one that's spearheading it.
She does look like she just finished. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Like, I'm white and he's white and it's fucking bullshit. Like, oh, my God, people. Check your privilege.
Well, that's all right.
Anytime I see some white, liberal, 20-year-old telling me to do anything, I want to punch their face. I don't care what your message is. When you are 20 years old, we all thought we knew something, and you fucking don't know shit.
Idealism abounds.
It is hilarious to me to have the comforts of family and, oh my God, I'm going to this liberal college and I just want to be so inclusive and accepting. And then, but we keep getting this thrown in our face and it's like, you have no fucking clue. You're going to wake up in 10 years and realize, holy shit, this is a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. I thought everything was going to be as simple and idealistic as growing up in my little community.
She's really going out on a limb there, isn't she?
Yeah.
Stretching herself.
Oh God, white people need to so check their privilege. And it's, I hate the idea of checked privilege anyways, because a few people have said that to me, like, why can't people just check their privilege? Why can't they acknowledge their privilege?
I actually had people say that to your face.
I have. I've had people say, I don't even tell you who did recently. Acknowledge your privilege. And I'm like, I'm thinking about it. I'm like, okay, well, what am I supposed to do anyways? Like, there's always going to be someone higher on the ladder than you. There's always going to be someone lower on the ladder than you that has more opportunity, that has less opportunity. So what exactly am I supposed to be checking?
Isn't it more about awareness, though, being aware of that fact? And if you're aware of that, then you have more of an open-mindedness.
I don't need a pin to tell me that there are lesser than me's. And there are people.
You can look to your left.
Yes. It just,
look to your left. See?
Well, there he is.
I should need a pin.
My privilege. It's getting out of hand. The opportunities I have are way more than his.
It's true.
And he's white.
That's true. Check
no, butter, like, right? I think of, who's the guy? Yeah. who's the guy on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
Yeah, Will Smith.
Kid. Not Will Smith.
Carlton?
Carlton. Carlton Banks. Carlton Banks grows up in Beverly Hills with a judge for a father. Oh, yeah. He's got way more advantage than me. black or not. He does. Carlton Banks had way more opportunities than I did.
I'm not sure that Carlton Banks is a real person. That is a character on a show.
You understand my point. I just don't know that we're ever going to completely fix this privilege thing.
How about Arnold Drummond? There's another one. God.
Yeah.
Grows up with Mr. Drummond as his adoptive dad.
Hell yeah. Way more privilege than you. Way more.
Hmm.
You know,
I'll throw Willis in there too.
And the thing is, okay, so say I acknowledge my privilege. Okay, now what? Like, are you going to acknowledge that you have more privilege than some third world person or less privilege than this? Like, what are we going to just go tit for tat for that? What am I supposed to feel guilty that my parents lived in a stable home and made sure I was provided for? Like, what exactly is the privilege that I'm supposed to be checking? And what do I do? Can I give some of it away?
Again, my
Can
interpretation
I share
of
my
it,
privilege?
I haven't looked deeply into this. It's just that they, I guess, want you to be aware and feel guilty so that you'll help the less fortunate. I don't know.
Check your privilege, bro.
Well put.
Bro.
Are you doing that? Are you guys checking your privilege? Are you guys making
Daily.
Yourselves aware?
Yeah, every morning I check it.
I try to do it twice a day. Once when I wake up and once like when I get home from the
podcast. When I brush my teeth. I remember when I brush my teeth to check my privilege.
It was started, by the way, this campaign was inspired by Barb.
As I think about the fact that I don't have dental insurance, I check my privilege.
See, there's other people
that
have
my
more...
kids don't either.
Yeah.
I check my privilege.
Yeah.
When I'm driving around in my 160,000-mile car, I'm checking my privilege.
Yeah. I'm putting on the same shirt I've worn for the last 5 years every 3 days.
Yeah.
I check my privilege.
I'm wearing one of 5 shirts that I've owned for 20 years.
I am very, very blessed and privileged to have what I have. So
are lots of people. Yeah. Everybody is. Everybody in this country, you could argue, God damn it, Lindell just scared the shit out of me.
Dude. That son of a bitch, it's like he sneaks up on you.
Yeah.
Try sitting in that other room and then walking into this room.
Dude, I did it the other day when you were sitting on the couch over there, and I just turned around. Dude. We were having a conversation. I turned around and was like, I thought it was E standing there with a pillow and a creepy smile on
Try
his face.
Try being down here alone, though, when that happens.
Yeah.
I think he's watching us, dude.
You should take Lindell to spend the night with you tonight, E. Keep us some company.
Don't fuck up Lindell.
No,
right? This
creepy,
is the only
dude.
Lindell we have.
He'd be creepy in that tent, dude. At night? In that tent all alone?
Hell yeah.
What if Mike came up? Oh, I shouldn't give him an idea.
No, go ahead.
If
Finish
Mike were to come up in the middle of the night in the tent, just stuck his head in there.
Lindell.
Yeah. Hey, how's it going in there? Have you seen my guy Ty? I heard Ty was coming by. Did my guy Ty stop by?
This is Mike Lindell. Can you hear me?
Yeah, coming through loud and clear.
You know, my wife's really going to be upset about this.
He might have some advice for you, though.
The duck's warmth actually saved my life because I passed out in the snow.
See?
I
had duck's warmth.
I had several listeners tell me to, Mike, telling me when I was...
Pack your body with dead ducks?
That, or if I was saying I was cold, just telling me how Mike Lindell would be sleeping naked outside if he was there.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
No doubt about it.
My wife's really going to be upset about this.
Going in my backyard.
Yeah, there is a dude
He's
going
got an
in
orange
backyard.
Hat on, which makes him look official.
Is he a meter reader?
I could be. I see an orange hat.
What if he looked over and
he's struggling with the gate? What do I do? Oh, man, I guess I could come back another day.
He's certainly entered the inner sanctum here.
He's struggling here. He doesn't know what to do.
He has some official-looking reader of some sort.
He does have a meter reader of sorts. The problem is the gate latch. I don't know if it's frozen or what's
Should
going on.
I go over
on.
There and just tell him to hop it?
Damn, he's trying.
Let me tell him to hop it. Let's see him hop
he
it.
He literally doesn't know what to do. I think he's going to leave.
Oh, shit.
Which is great. He left. This is great news.
He got free gas.
Yes.
Free gas and water for the month.
He's just going to put down a number that he thinks of.
Damn.
Double what it really was.
What if he...
That is the definition of white privilege.
That's
right. My white ass was in here. He was like, he's probably not using that much gas.
I'm kind of bummed now. I don't know what his path was from the other house. It would have been funny if I had been in the tent.
Chirping,
when he had walked by.
Chirping the listeners.
Yeah.
No, I'm not eating my hat.
What the fuck?
Fuck you, Joel.
I'm not eating my hat. Not eating my hat. I'm not eating my hat. And he's like, okay.
He keeps walking around E's tent trying to find E's meter.
Okay, for $25,000, I'll make on the driveway.
Fine, I'll shit on the driveway. This guy's out there like, what the fuck?
I can tell you for a fact that I know if he walked anywhere close, he could have, because you had some company come by and check out your wood room ceiling or
whatever
roof today.
Yeah.
And you know who he is, and I asked him, could you hear me up on the roof? And he said, yes. And I'm referring to me just sitting in the tent answering questions.
Oh, yeah, you're squawking,
dude. As soon as I open the door, I can hear him. And it's funny, too, because sometimes I'll go to the fence because I don't want to be on the camera, And I know the microphones can hear me, so I'm like, hey, E, what's going on? And he's like, hey, he unzips his thing. How's it going out there? And then he'll want to tell me something off the record, and he'll come over and just be like, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, so my mom doesn't want me to do this. And then he'll come over, he'll be trying to whisper, but his whisper is a yell anyways. And I'm like, dude, this is so all, whatever you're saying out here is being picked up.
Come on, Big E, is that all you got?
Oh, E.
Hey, save massive money on all demos in stock at Zot Ford and Holly. For example, save $13,000 on a new 17 Ford Explorer Platinum, the most loaded Explorer on the planet. Or save $17,000 on a new 16 Ford Expedition Limited. Both are four-wheel drive and have virtually every safety and luxury feature known to man. Hurry, when they're gone, they're gone. And don't forget, E, for the month of February only, when you buy or lease your next new or used vehicle from Zot Ford, you will receive $500 in free travel from Deals in the D VIP travel website. Deals in the D VIP travel website.
Yeah.
Why can't I say that?
That's a tough one to say.
Yes, that's $500 of free hotel stays only for the month of February and only from our friends at dealsinthed.com.
E, would you?
Didn't we already look at this girl or no?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't remember seeing that picture.
Yeah, I would.
You would?
Dude, look at her face. She looks 12.
I don't care about
her
face.
I wasn't even looking at that, dude.
Yeah,
I wasn't
fuck
even
her face. Yeah.
Assuming she's 17 or older.
Well, in this picture, no, she's not. Not even close. She's like 16.
Oh, jeez.
But
then no.
Well, yeah. I'm just curious. I'm not even going to do the story. It's horrible.
Yeah, I wouldn't do this one either.
Yeah, I mean, anytime.
This one about the window.
Yeah, a girl gives birth and, like, you know, puts the baby on the windowsill of her second story room and then throws it out the window and kills
the
baby.
Kind of
like,
story
dude,
we do
I
don't want to even touch it.
Yeah, not even going there. I know they're the Sarah Titties, the Mike Massays, the Jay Detroit cast of the world just hate those stories.
It'd qualify as a dead baby story.
It would.
I'm
I mean,
assuming the baby died when it hit the ground from two stories up.
It did. Mm-hmm. And they were quick to point
concrete
out, too.
Right below?
I think it was
smashed
lawn,
to smithereens,
but it was
enough of an impact to really
do severe damage. Yeah, and it sat there for a couple hours before
probably
mom
gasping
came
for
in.
Breath.
Maybe they did point out though that it was absolutely 100% alive when it was born, mm-hmm. So it was not a stillborn that was just like willy nilly chucked out a window. But yeah, and I like I said, I'm glad we're not doing this story. But she like texted her boyfriend like.
Threatening.
By the way, it was a girl, and hey, babe, if you want to try again, you know, we can, shit like that. But she's not going to be tried as an adult. She was trying to say, like, oh my God, I didn't even know I was pregnant. I didn't even know. Hashtag so not pregnant.
Just thought I was getting really fat.
But then she called, like,
uh-oh.
She was, like, put out on Facebook, like, oh my God, does anybody have a car and, like, a few towels for an emergency?
She doesn't have any towels.
I guess.
Where was she that she didn't have any towels?
Can someone bring a shovel and some
what, do you
towels?
Always have towels on handy? What are you talking about? Where
you're
was
right.
She that she didn't have towels?
Her home.
Well, she needed a car. Yeah. But
try finding a towel here.
Well, this is a different.
You're in a home. A large home. Find a towel. Legend. Good luck.
Dude, that seems like the worst. Like, even if I was totally retarded, I would know that, like, I would try to flush it down the toilet before, like, push it off a windowsill. Gross. Done with
well,
that.
Slimy.
Ugh. Right. Hopefully it just like melts into the grass or something. That was gross.
There is a level like of a, that, like, well, yeah. Out of my hands now.
All done with it.
That's always part of these teen pregnancy murder stories. You
yeah.
Know? Like, oh, it's in the dumpster now. Didn't happen.
Like, dude, I just can't at all wrap my head, process yeah. That. And maybe it's like, you want to go, oh, well, they're so young and blah, blah. It's like, no, fucker, at 16, you're not that young that you wouldn't understand and grasp. Oh, my God, I'm just going to throw out the garbage can in my neighbor's garbage can and hope nobody finds it.
You talk about denial, Mike.
Yeah.
You know?
It's not just a river in Egypt.
No,
you know what
not.
I mean?
Glad you mentioned that. It is not. Hey, Amazon link, please use it, everybody. DetroitCast.com. There you'll find a link to Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
It's a perfect way to support us.
Amazon.
Make sure you use the promo code TDC if you go to MyPillow.com, too.
Great point. Mike, we have some email.
What do we got? A couple quickly, because we got to get E back outside soon.
I agree with you. He's been way too long.
Actually, you're not going out there yet. I need you to do a few things first, E, so you might be a couple hours. Okay. So,
oh, by the way, new favorite listener, Bob, is a Warren Cousineau alumni.
Oh, yes.
Alumnus.
Did he tell you that I was pronouncing the name right all along?
He didn't say that, but I understand that you were.
Oh, I was.
Okay.
Oh, I was.
Good. Good for you. High school accomplishments include illicit drug use, sure. attempts at premarital sex, counseling, as it were.
My Excellent. God.
A solid C average. Most recent accomplishment, avid TDC supporter and member. Good day and goodbye, BUI.
I like
NFL
that guy.
Bob.
A few of those were, I would say, sins.
His accomplishments are getting better with age.
I know.
You know?
I know. Hey, Kurt writes in, fine fellows. Dude, is this possibly true? This is really grim, Kurt. Fine fellows, it is with sad news I must tell you my father died in an awful way.
Oh, no.
Should I stop?
Like, probably. Yeah,
what is the...
The coroner,
unless it was he froze to death in a tent outside.
No, the coroner's report stated choked on a large chunk of steak in a restaurant.
It's not a bad way to go.
They thought he was having a heart attack and discovered the steak on the way to Beaumont.
Oh,
but my main point is you've ruined me. Every time someone said in relation to my dad's death, we give you our thoughts and prayers, I had to add and all that shit in my head.
Yeah.
And stifle a chuckle. It's been awful. Goodbye, BUI, and all that shit.
What was his name?
Kurt.
Kurt.
Sorry for your loss, Kurt.
Honestly, sorry for your loss. And I feel he's not the first person to tell me that man.
When they receive
lost a loved one and people are coming up to me like crazy, like thoughts and prayers are with you in this time and blah, blah, and they can't help. They cannot
and
all that shit. Because it is. Otherwise, you'd come up with a more creative way to say, hey, man, you're in my thoughts and prayers. You know, yeah. I mean, I'll give thoughts and prayers this. It is a nice package.
Mm-hmm.
It is. I want to extend my condolences. I give you my thoughts and prayers. That's strong. It's strong.
It's all you can do in that moment, Mike.
Yeah, right? It's an uncomfortable moment, but I just...
You can't make it better, so you give them their thoughts and prayers.
Yeah. Well, I have more of a problem with it, not so much when people know somebody. Like if something happened to, you know, your dad
but
or something...
But it's when Nabisco gives thoughts and prayers
exactly,
to, you know,
that's
Harambe or whatever. Really, Nabisco?
Oh, really?
You're praying for Harambe? Yeah. Okay.
Let's keep him in our thoughts and prayers tonight, folks. Love Nabisco family. Stop it. Get out of here.
Get out of here.
Does that include the elf? Is Keebler a Nabisco product? Or is Keebler Keebler?
Keebler's Keebler, my man.
Okay.
Nabisco is like...
What about the three
Triscuits?
Elves? What about those three guys? Those aren't they part of the Keebler?
They're the Keebler elves.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on. There's one Keebler elf.
No.
It's the fucking guy with the gray hair. You're
Wait,
thinking Snap, Crackle, and Pop.
No. I'm thinking of the cookies, the guys that are in the tree. The elves.
Isn't there just one Keebler elf in
a
tree?
No, there's three Keebler elves.
Really?
Yes.
I picture one guy with gray hair.
Oh, shit.
One little
God
fucking elf.
Damn it.
The Keebler elf.
If
you know?
I'm confusing Snap, Crackle, and or
we
Pop.
We are. I think we are.
It's the Keebler elf, gentlemen. Don't fuck with my elf knowledge, okay? Elves, pixies, and dwarfs. I'm an expert.
Yeah.
There he is.
Didn't you have lawn?
Gray hair.
The lawn guys?
Yeah, I've got a garden gnome.
Yeah, you were big on the gnomes when we were kids. Didn't you have one?
The party gnome. He had a prophylactic on his head.
That was there for like
It's interesting
10
what happens
years,
to a
right?
prophylactic after 10 years of exposure to sunlight.
For the lay, explain what a pro...
It's a condom.
Condom, yeah.
I had a condom on an elf's head.
His
a
little
garden
red
gnome's
hat.
Little red hat. And it sat on a windowsill for many years in college. And that, I mean, the disintegration of the condom is remarkable.
Yeah.
I almost call it biodegradable.
It turned into like a headband after like 5 years. It was just like this skin-colored.
It was as if you took a lighter to it, you know,
and melted it on there. Totally.
Yeah, he was cool, the party gnome. I still have the party gnome. He's in my garage.
I remember the tree, the elves in the trees talking to each other
Guys,
in commercials and making like cookies or something.
I thought I did too.
I think you might be thinking Snap, Crackle, and Pop.
No, dude, they were always around the bowl. Snap, Crackle, and Pop was around the bowl. They weren't in a tree. Are there three other elves?
The bowl, not the tree.
Wait a minute. Look at this commercial.
All right, let's see.
Hey.
There he is.
Careful with that.
There's three of them.
There you go.
It's the rookie's first time covering cookies.
Do I have to use so much
fudge? Definitely three
of them. We're elves. We always use lots.
Lots of
rich, creamy fudge makes our good Keebler cookies taste even more uncommonly good.
Keep your eye on the cookie, kid.
Making Keebler fudge-covered cookies takes lots of fudge.
Okay.
Can we agree there's one main elf?
Okay, I'll give you this.
There's the spokesperson elf.
There's the... Okay, here's what's happened here. There are, in fact, three Keebler Elves. It's one of those rare situations where we're both right.
No.
Yes, it is. And I'll tell you, we ran
well,
into
you're
this.
You're not right then, either.
We ran into this when we talked about whether or not that was a Queen song or a David Bowie song.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun,
who
dun,
did
dun,
Vanilla dun, dun. Ice rip that off of, Queen or David Bowie?
Yeah.
Right? And I said and I David fought, Bowie. And
I said
like,
Queen. I'm like, dude, it's a fucking Queen song.
Yeah, it's both.
It's both. It's the Queen David Bowie song. So, while I'll give you this, in the packaging, it is the one elf that is
one
primarily featured.
Yeah, it appears they needed a couple other actors to be involved.
Yeah.
Because what's he going to do, talk to himself there? No, he needs to bring his couple of his boys in.
Yeah.
And have that little exchange.
And that's what I remember. Not so much the packaging, but I remember the during cartoon
yeah,
Saturday morning.
I don't remember
morning,
that at all. That's a good callback, Mike.
Yeah, when they would be in the tree, like making the fudge striped cookies and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The fudge stripe, those are pretty good.
Those are good, aren't they? I could go for some of those.
Lastly, Mike says, King, Lazy, and the Spaz. In poem number 740, you all talked about your individual ring entrance music to hear the remaining of time when you go to your individual happy place. Isn't the correct answer In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins? Of course, we're talking about the Master of Your Domain theme song.
Mm, yeah.
I mean, seriously, just sing the chorus and it says it all. Look, locate, step to the side, says Mike, winky face. You're talking about, I can feel it coming in the air tonight.
Oh, Lord.
I don't want to say, oh, Lord, in my masturbation.
Well, dude, but think about the moment of explosiveness you could have during that Phil Collins drum solo.
Oh, dude.
Bow! And then right then, right at that last fucking kick drum snare, pow! And
you're right, dude.
Blast off and take a ceiling tile out.
That's a great point, Mike. Mike and Miguel.
If you could sync that up and time it properly, it'd be an amazing moment. Yeah.
Other than that drum solo moment, though, that song sucks.
I don't know.
It does make you think of Miami Vice, though, which was a great show.
Mm. Wasn't a big fan of
Crockett and Tubbs.
Tubbs, yeah.
Weren't a big fan.
Nah.
Hmm. Okay.
I don't know what else was on. What else was on at that time? Because I was definitely watching TV. So I don't know. I must have been watching a competitor's thing. It was like Knight Rider on or something.
Yeah, that was that kind of owned that evening, honestly.
Yeah.
That was enormous, Mike.
Yeah.
We'll save the rest for tomorrow, sir.
All right. Well, we'll get E outside as soon as we can. And has there been any more donations come in of late? Probably not, because most people probably aren't hearing us yet. And you're not out there tap dancing. The monkey's not out there tap dancing right now.
We're at 21.5, so if we can get to 23,
okay.
Out goes the cot, in goes the beer.
Yeah. Yep. And that'll be fun for everybody. Yes. So enjoy it. E's last night out sleeping on the driveway. Thank you guys so much for the support to this point.
Incredible.
It's been awesome. More than we could have hoped for. So let's finish it off right. You guys have a great rest of the day. Thank you all. We'll do it again tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Detroit Cast with your hosts, Mike and Jay. From all of us at Radio for One Studios, thank you for listening. And as always, thank you, Detroit.